Union Church family, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to worship with you. Listen to what the Word of the Lord says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. I want to be like Abraham. Some days I'm not, okay? But I want to have that kind of faith. The world is watching you right now. As Christians, they are watching us. How are you responding to what's going on right now? The world's asking you the question, against all hope, are you still going to believe in God? And as a church family, I want our answer to be a resounding, yes, I will. Yes, I will, against hope. I'm going to believe in God, in hope, and have faith in Him. When I'm faced with disbelief and doubts, in hope, yes, I will believe in God. Let's go. Will you stand and let's worship God? You are worthy, Father, to receive all praise. Jesus, we give you praise now and lift up your holy name. Strengthen us as the body of believers. Praise you, God.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God is never late. He's working all things out. Working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will.
Do you have faith in God? Do you believe in His promises? Let our answer be, yes, I will.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. Working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy. My heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I choose to pray.
Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will. good morning, church family, and welcome to worship at Thomasville First Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're watching us online or on TV. We hope today that the service is meaningful to you and helps you to grow in your faith. If we can ever assist you in helping you and joining this church, if you're new to our congregation, please reach out to us, send us an email, let us know that you want to learn more about our church. If you have prayer needs, I hope you'll reach out as well. We want to be praying for you. And if you are still sheltering in place, we hope to see you very soon right here in person for one of our Sunday morning gatherings. As we enter into this time of worship, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. Speak to us through this experience as we continue to worship you through song and as we study your word together. May your spirit guide us into honoring you and becoming more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Hey, church family, we are back with live services, and we can't wait to see you. When you feel comfortable joining us in person, please pre-register for the service of your choice online at fbcthomasville.com or by calling the church office. As a reminder, there's no childcare available at this time. We ask that everyone bring their own mask, but if you don't have one, don't worry. We'll have some available, as well as hand sanitizer. When you arrive, please enter through the main doors on Broad Street and have your email confirmation ready to show at the door. Based on CDC guidelines, we've prepared seating that is 6 feet apart, and a volunteer will show you to your seat. It's been so good to worship together in person. We were made for community, and nothing can take the place of gathering as the body of Christ face to face. At the conclusion of the service, a volunteer will dismiss you by rows, and as you exit, you'll have the opportunity to give. We've missed you so much, and we are looking forward to seeing you soon.
Good times and the bad times, in the highlands and the heartache, God, that we would give you praise no matter what.
Oh, how high I climb mountains, if the mountains were where you hide. Oh, how far scale the valleys, if you grace the other side. Oh, how long I chase rivers from lonely seas to where they rise. Against the rush of grace descending from the source of its supply. 'Cause in the highlands and the heartache, more less inclined, I would search and stop at nothing. You're just not that hard to find.
Come on.
I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. No less God within the shadow. No less faithful in the night leads me astray. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands, in the heartache, all the same. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, how far beneath your glory does your kindness extend the path from where your feet rest on the sunrise to where you sweep the sinners past. Oh, how fast you come running, just a shadow through the night. Trace my steps through all my failures, walk me out the other side. Thank you, God. Who could dare ascend that mountain, that valley too called Calvary? And for the one I call Good Shepherd, like a lamb was slain for me. Oh, I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. You're the summit where my feet are. So I'll praise you in the valleys all the same. He's no less God than the shadow. Believe it. No less faithful in the night it's been strange. You're the heaven where my heart. In the heart of all the sin. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wherever I walk, wherever I am, your name can move mountains. Wherever I stand, wherever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. Whatever I walk through, wherever I am, your name can move mountains. Wherever I stand, whatever I walk through the valley of death, I'll sing through the shadows my song of ascent. My song of ascent. Oh, oh, oh. A mighty river flowing upwards from a deep but empty grave. Praise you, God. Yeah. I will praise you on the mountain. I will praise you in the mountains in my way. Cause you're the sun where my feet are. So I praise you in the valleys on the sea. No less God than the shadows. No less faithful in the night it's been strong. You're the heaven where my heart is. In the highlands, in the heartache on the sea.
Each week you are so generous in making sacrificial and generous gifts to fund the ministry God's called us to, and what an important ministry it is. And I thank you for your generosity. I want to take this moment to thank you for your investment in me and my family in so many different ways. Y'all have been a blessing as a church to us, and I am so grateful for the friendship and relationship we've had being a part of Thomasville First Baptist Church for the past 10 years. As most all of you know, I'll be taking a position with Truett McConnell University. And while I'm excited about that and the new journey God has for me, I'm very sad about the transition here, because you've meant so much to me. So thank you for the investment you make in people, in my family, for example, the investment you make in God's kingdom. And as we give today, thank you for how your giving is going to transform the world and all eternity as you give to support missions locally and throughout the country and world. So right now as we give, know that you can give through text, you can give online, or you can mail in your gift, however you feel is best for you. The important thing is we participate in this offering experience. As we give, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to give. Thank you for blessing us so richly. And God, I think about that in my own life, how you have blessed me with the friendship and relationship here with the wonderful church of Thomasville First Baptist. And God, what a special experience it's been, how it has encouraged me and helped me in my faith. And I know, God, that great things are in store for this wonderful church. I pray your richest blessings upon each member, upon them collectively as they race toward with excitement the new seasons and new chapters ahead. Father, may you go before them. May you show them the way and shine a light on your wonderful and glorious plans that will bring honor and glory to you. I pray that this church would continue to lead people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, God, as we give to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love Daddy because sometimes he plays hide and seek with me.
I love Daddy because he puts me so high on the swing.
I love my dad because he's a great man, a great Christian, and a wonderful example for me. And I know he loves me because he helps me when I'm hurt or sick, and he always makes time for me.
I love it when my dad builds me things.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you for always making me smile.
Love you.
Why do you love your daddy?
Because he loves me.
Yeah? And what else?
He slams me on the couch. And he gets on my trampoline. Very often. And then we watch a movie with him. We do all sorts of things.
Happy Father's Day!
Thanks, Dad, for everything that you've done for us.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Dad, for weed eating and mowing the grass. Love you.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you for taking me on a golf cart ride.
I love my daddy because he provides us money and all the things we need.
Thank you!
I love my dad because he's nice and sweet.
I love my dad because he is nice and he is kind.
I know my dad loves me because he does stuff around the house and takes care of me.
I know my dad loves me because he is kind and sweet.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy.
Thank you for everything you do for us.
We love you.
Why do you love your daddy?
It's because he cares for us and every night he gives us ice water.
Okay. How about you, Allie?
He took me out to breakfast.
Took you out to breakfast. And what's another way you know your daddy loves you?
He rides bikes with me.
What are some things he does with you, Allie?
He builds Legos with me.
Very good. You guys want to say Happy Father's Day?
Happy Father's Day!
I know my dad loves me because
he helps me with baseball.
I love my dad because he takes me fishing.
I know my dad loves me because
he hugs me.
Happy Father's Day!
Thank you for being smart and funny and always caring about us. Also, thank you for teaching us about Star Wars.
We love you!
Happy Father's Day, Daddy! We love you!
We love you because you take care of me and you grow beautiful and you play with me.
Thank you, Daddy, for teaching me about Jesus.
Thank you, Daddy.
Well, happy Father's Day to all of our dads listening. Today I want to share a message about God as our Father, and I want to read several passages as we begin. And then we'll open in prayer. Listen as I read these passages, beginning with John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was created through him. And yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven." In Psalm 103, verse 13, it says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." Ephesians 4, 6 tells us that there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So many passages in the Bible speak about the fatherhood of God. And I want us to think today about your Father in heaven, and just who he is and what that can mean in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time looking to your word and understanding your person. Speak to our hearts and help us today. For those who may find Father's Day a hard day because of a lost loved one, a bad relationship, maybe some regret over their own parenting, God, help us today to learn the comfort, the joy, the experience we have in having you as our Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it can be really hard to understand God. I mean, he is beyond us. Our minds in their finite form cannot understand the infinite, yet we try to wrestle through and understand God, even though we are man and he is infinite creator. But God wants you to know him, and as hard as it may be to understand his person, God has revealed himself to us in so many ways, and he wants you to grasp as much as humanly possible something about his being. He wants you to understand his love for you. He wants you to grasp that he is a father to you. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the God who created everything you see in the world, the God who created things beyond what mankind has even discovered in space and in the depths of the sea, God created all of that, and yet he wants to know you intimately as your father. He's greater than everything, and yet he wants that kind of relationship with you. Isn't that astounding? Isn't that amazing? And I want you to think about the implications of God as your father, our amazing, loving father, how he brings his person to bear in your life, his eternal, perfect attributes, how they come into play into your temporal and earthly experience. Think about when I was young. There were two things I loved to collect. Baseball cards, number one, and then also comic books. I had a variety of comic books, and you would read about these superheroes, and every superhero had their power, and it was always amazing to see them in action on the pages of those comic books. But every superhero, while they had their strength, they also had their weaknesses and their limitations. I think about the most well-known of all superheroes, Superman. We know his weakness is kryptonite. He cannot stand to be around kryptonite. The Hulk, who had all that power, who had all that strength that came about whenever he was anger, but it was uncontrolled power, wasn't it? And then you think about Batman. Had the weaknesses of all humans, but he had all the gadgets and abilities through that to do these superhuman things. And then there was Robin, which I never understood him. I never understood his power, his weakness. He just seemed weak all the way around. But man, even a superhuman version of man, has weaknesses. We all have weaknesses, but God, we discover in scriptures, he reveals himself to us. He has no weaknesses. He has no shortcomings, no limitations. His powers are perfect, and he is without weakness. You see, every person has a degree of power, but only God possesses omnipotence. Every person has presence, but only God has omnipresence. Every person has some knowledge, but only God is omniscient. So I want us to today consider each of those three attributes I just mentioned. Let's start with God's omnipotence. Now, if you're not familiar with this word, it comes from a Latin, two words in Latin, omni meaning all, and potens, which means powerful. It's stating simply that God is all-powerful. We say he is omnipotent. God has possession of all power in his being. Remember on the schoolyard when you were a kid and you're out playing at recess, and what did every kid like to do? They like to brag about their dad. Their dad's smarter than the other kid's dad. Their dad is stronger than the other dad. Well, my dad is richer and makes more money than your dad. And back and forth they go. Little kids like to brag on their dads. They believe their dads can do anything. Well, in Jeremiah 32, verse 37, God asked this rhetorical question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? What a mind-boggling question. Is there anything you can think of that is too hard for God? The answer, of course, is absolutely not. There's nothing too hard for Him. Now, this doesn't mean by any stretch that God can do foolish things. God has certain limitations. For example, God can't make a square circle or make a rock so heavy that He can't even lift it. People put all these crazy hypotheticals forward. That's not what God's omnipotence means. Omnipotence doesn't mean God can do anything. Now, I got hit one Sunday many years ago. It was the old tradition of shaking hands as people were leaving church on Sunday morning. And in the sermon that day, I said, God can't sin. And this lady accosted me and said, that's not true. God won't sin. And God can if He wants to. And I said, no, He can't sin. And, you know, it's a matter of semantics, perhaps, but here's the crux of the matter. God can do anything consistent with His character. God can't do things contrary to His character. That's why we say God can't sin. God cannot make a square circle, because square circles do not exist. It's just a hypothetical, silly thing to say. God can do anything consistent with His character. For example, according to Habakkuk chapter 1, God cannot look on sin. In 2 Timothy 2, it tells us God cannot deny Himself. In Hebrews 6, it tells us God cannot lie. Or according to James chapter 1, God cannot be tempted by sin. So God has some self-imposed limits according to His character. Now, we don't need to think that that limits God's power or underestimate God's power. God can do the impossible. He can raise the dead. He can walk on the water. And history, experience, and the scriptures teach us that there is nothing that is impossible for our God. So let's bring this home for a moment. Well, Marty, thanks for the great theological lesson and teaching us a fancy theological term of omnipotence, but what does that really have to do with the fact that I'm living in the middle of a pandemic, the world's melting down, my life's tough, my bills can't be paid, all those kind of things? What difference does this really make? How does God's omnipotence affect your life? Well, it brings us incredible comfort today. It brings us incredible hope, because we know that we have a Father who can do anything and everything that we need to happen in this world and in our lives. God is that powerful. Now, this is a silly story of the past, but it makes the point. I read how on one New Year's Day during the Tournament of Roses parade, there's a beautiful float that was making its way along the parade route, and suddenly it just sputtered out and quit. It was out of gas. Now, you can imagine how disruptive that was to the parade. The whole parade was held up as someone had to go off, get some gas, and put it in the vehicle to get the float going again. But what was so interesting and humorous about the situation is that the float was representing the Standard Oil Company. Here was a company with all these vast oil resources, and now it's stuck in this parade completely out of gas. Now, in much the same way, we can journey through this life with all its many problems, never coming to realize that we are connected to an unlimited power source. We sputter along like that float in a parade, running out of gas and strength and ability, because we fail to tap into an omnipotent God who possesses all power. So in other words today, your impossible solutions, your impossible problems have a solution. Your tough situations where you can't figure out an answer, God has the solution. An omnipotent God is at work in your life because He is your Father, and He can enable you to overcome what's defeating you and what is discouraging you. What a great father you have working on your behalf. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, at work within you. God's power is made manifest in your life. We're missing out on so much in life when we fail to tap into that power. But when we discover God is our Father, and we walk with him and tap into his great power at work in us, we have an omnipotent God, and that gives us confidence that we will have victory in this life. Victory over every trouble and every discouraging situation. To the Christian, the omnipotence of God is a source of great comfort and hope. Now, do let me say this. To the unbeliever, and perhaps you've never made a decision to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, such a mighty God who possesses all power, he becomes a source of continual warning, a being that we should fear and worry and fret over facing if we do not have Christ, because James chapter 2 tells us, yes, even the demons understand there is a God, but they shudder at that. They shudder at his power, and so should we today, because the demons, they recognize the omnipotence of God. Today, if you've not trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, you should do the same. We should fear God, because Philippians 2 verse 10 tells us that there's coming a day that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The wrath of omnipotent God will come to bear forcefully upon all who fail to receive Christ. So as we think of God's power, understand your need to submit yourself to his power. Trust in his plan for your salvation and his son, Jesus Christ. Well, as we think about God's power, we understand his omnipotence. But now let's go a step further. Let's talk about his omniscience. When we say that God is omniscient, we mean he possesses perfect knowledge of all things. Remember, omni means all. He's all powerful, potent, powerful. Now we talk about omniscience. He's all, and that Latin word from which we derive science, it speaks of knowledge. He has all knowledge. I think about in my life, I've been in school, it seems like most every year of my life. It just never ends. And the longer I'm in school, the more I realize I lack knowledge. It's like the more I learn, I just discover how ignorant I am. And I study and take classes and do all the rest. Well, God has never had to learn anything. Heard someone say one time, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? There's never been a moment when God thought, oh, wow, I never thought of that before. Or, oh, now I have the answer. He knows everything. And being eternal, he's known everything throughout eternity past. Try to wrap your mind around that. God doesn't have to reason. He doesn't have to work through formulas to find a solution to a problem. He doesn't have to think through things to find an answer. God knows all things perfectly, and he knows everything there is to know. We think about some people that think they know everything. You call them a know-it-all, right? Well, God is truly the only know-it-all. He knows everything completely. Now, what's more is that God has never forgotten anything he has known. I'm moved into my 40s now. I'll be 43 in just a couple of weeks. And I think about this. Have you ever had this moment where you are looking for something and you kind of lose track of what you're doing, and the next thing you know, you're looking in the refrigerator and you don't know what you're looking for? You forgot why you're at the refrigerator, and then it hits you. You're looking for something that would never be in the refrigerator, your keys, your cell phone. It's an upsetting experience, and a lot of us have been there. Well, God doesn't have those moments. God never forgets things. He remembers all things past, knows all things present, even knows all things about the future. God knows everything that's going to happen in your life. He knows everything about your future. Now, let me just diverge for a moment and take a little dirt road to the side here. Know that there's a difference between foreknowledge and foreordination. God does not necessarily cause things that are going to happen in your life. Now, this is a confusing statement, but it's very informative. Listen carefully. Free actions, the things you do, free actions do not take place because they are foreseen, but they are foreseen because they will take place. God has foreknowledge. He knows the things that are going to happen. He knows the choices, in other words, that you're going to make. God knows all things, including the future. Now again, Marty, thanks for the theology lesson, but what does this mean? Why does this matter to me today in my life? How does this affect me? Well, in Psalm 147, verse 5, David wrote, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." In Jude, in verse 25, it identifies God as the only wise God. So as a Christian seeks guidance in the daily affairs of life, isn't it good to realize today that God is guiding you, and not just guiding you with partial information, not with just some maybe thought or theory that he could put forward that maybe something could work out in your life, but God is leading you with his omniscience, his all-knowing power. And as you walk through life, you feel like you're walking blindly through the decisions you're making, but as you walk with the Lord, those feelings of walking in the fog, walking in blindness, it's God directing you and guiding you through life. You don't have all the answers, but God does. You don't know what to do, but God does. You don't know what the future is going to look like, and you worry and you fret because you don't know, but here's the thing, God knows. And he's able to guide you through the uncertainties of this troubled world in which you live. Now, that brings us to our third point. And let's talk for a moment about God's omnipresence. By this point, you've understood. Omni means what? Say it with me. It means all. We know omni means all. Now we're talking about God is all present. In other words, God's more than a Santa Claus who knows if you've been naughty or nice. He not only sees and knows, but he is there. He is all present. Now, this is one of the most easy to recognize by the term omnipresence. We understand what that means just by looking at the word, but it's one of the most difficult attributes to understand. Hear this. God is everywhere, all at the same time. Now, that's hard to understand because it's beyond our comprehension. We think in finite moments. We think in this real experience where you are right now, where you're seated, the screen you're watching, those types of things. But God is all there, everywhere, all the time. God, in other words, is not some kind of glorified man that's man-sized and he's in one location, the good man upstairs, and he's looking down on the earth. That's not how it is at all. God is omnipresent. He's present among us. I recall years ago, my son Andrew, we would lay in bed at night and talk. You probably did this with your kids or grandkids, but we were talking, and you know, kids will ask some hard questions, won't they? They'll ask you things that, how are you thinking that? And they bring it with this childlike perspective, but it just overwhelms you trying to answer the question. And look, I've been in school for years. I've got degrees from seminary stuff, all that. I've got all that training. And my little four-year-old boy at that time, we're lying in bed, and he says, "Daddy, yes, son, how big is God?" Now, that should be a simple question. His simple four-year-old mind just had a simple question. "Daddy, how big is God?" Now, go explain the omnipresence of Almighty God to a four-year-old. My brain started melting even trying to speak to him on the subject. Solomon said this, "But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built." He said that in 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon recognized that God cannot be contained in a building, in a location. God is everywhere. Now again, what does that mean for us? Why is that even important? Well, God's omnipresence is a source of comfort for the believer because God, the ever-present one, is always available to help us. God's not tied up with something over there, worried about a situation over here, and he can't be there for you. God can be everywhere all at the same time. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 says, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord is near us whenever we pray to him?" No God can compare. God is with us anytime we turn to him. Jesus promised, God in the flesh, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God's always with you. The psalmist said in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." Friend, God is always there. He's always ready to receive you. He's always present in your most difficult of circumstances. So be encouraged today. As you walk through life and you feel like you don't know what to do, when you feel like there's no answer and you possess no power to fix your situation, when you feel like you're all alone, God is there. He has the power and he has the answers. So this Father's Day, be reminded of your loving Heavenly Father, that he's always with you. He knows all things that are happening in your life, and he has the power to handle each and every one of them. Have you met this loving Father who cares so much for you? Have you come to know him by having your sins washed away and coming to know him in a real and personal way? I want you to know that you were born a sinner. You're separated from God because of your sin. But God loves you so much and so desires to be your Father that he sent his one and only Son to die for your sin. And because Jesus is God in the flesh, he's the sinless Savior, he could die for you. He was buried and he overcame death because he is the sinless Savior. And that through faith in him, belief in what he did for you, trust in what he did for you, finding that he is the only hope you have to be saved, that you could get rid of your sin in no other way but Jesus. As you turn to Jesus, you can know the Father. So today, if you've not come to know the loving Father through his Son Jesus, it's my prayer that you'll make that decision. Bow your head right now and pray words like this, right now to the Lord. "Father, I know that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he's risen from the dead, and I ask him to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Now help me to live for you for the rest of my life. And thank you for being my loving Father." I hope that's your prayer today. If you've trusted Christ this morning, let us know. We want to help you to grow in your faith and take some next steps. Send us an email, reach out to us if you will. And this Father's Day, be encouraged, no matter your earthly situation, as a father or grandfather, your relationship with your father, your grandfather, whatever the circumstances may be on earth, you have a heavenly Father, and he loves you tremendously with a love you can never comprehend, a love you can never exhaust, your loving heavenly Father. Let's pray as we dismiss. Father, thank you so much for our time together. Help us to embrace your love, to walk in your love, and to experience your love this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for watching. God bless.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. We hope that you'll take some time this week to stay connected through our various social media platforms. And if you have a need or a prayer request, we encourage you to reach out to your life group leader, your deacon, or one of our staff members. And we hope to see you online or on campus next time. And until then, thanks for watching, and may God bless you.